Love Talk
Come
Radio.
With it, come with it, come with it, people. Here we go. Uh-oh. You know what that sound is? Kick it off.
Rapido!
Oh, yeah. NFL preseason is full of effect.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now.
College football knocking on the door. Time is now. I never get sick of that intro, man. I don't know. It's always keeping me hyped up. As always, and of course, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12 Man. Man, we are right back at it again. And today, of course, it's a special Thursday night edition of Talking Sports with the 12 Man. Today is August the 21st, and I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. And without further ado, I always got to check in on Mr. Rob Ford. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Man, doing awesome, man. How about you? How was your day?
It's a good day, man. Busy, but, you know, I always want to always get excited to talk sports with you, my friend. And as always, we are ready to get this party started. So without further ado, Rob, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and throw out the numbers for our listeners out there. If you want to call into the show and share your thoughts, we've got a lot of things to discuss, as Robert was mentioning over the intro. We're not going to be caught in the car like your boy LeGarrette Blount. And I'm not making too many jokes, Rob, but it's all good. But anyway, numbers real quick.
He would have the last name Blount too, would he?
Yeah, that just things just don't come out right. But anyway, and what is his name? LaVavian Bell, whatever his name is. Man, a lot of challenges with that too. But anyway, all right, let's go ahead and throw the numbers so we can get this party started. If you want to call into the show, please feel free to call us at the number is 424-243-9519. Also, we are available via Twitter as well as on Facebook. So to follow us via Twitter, go to the number at 12, THMAN Sports. And then finally, if you want to find us on Facebook, if you want to go to facebook.com/12ManSports, or if you put in Talking Sports for the 12th Man, you will actually find us. So that being said, man, a lot of things going on, Rob. Good job with the topics. And I guess let's kick it right off with the NFL preseason. And if you've been under a rock, every time there's been a movement about the Cleveland Browns, about Johnny Football and whatnot, but looks like Cleveland actually did something good. They actually named Brian Hoyer, the starter. And I guess the question is that the right decision? So I'm going to throw it to you, Rob. Do you think that was a good decision for Cleveland to name Hoyer the starter for the Browns?
I'm going to say yes. It was I think it was the right decision. Even though if you look at the numbers, Manziel's numbers in the preseason have been better than Hoyer's. But just from a maturity standpoint, I think Cleveland is better off going with Hoyer. I think, you know, Johnny Manziel still has some growing up to do. He needs to mature. And I think, you know, now that they actually named Hoyer the starter, I think you're going to see better numbers out of Hoyer as well. I think you don't have to look over his shoulder. I think they're going to give him more reps with the first team here the remainder of training camp and the remainder of preseason. Gives him a chance to really settle in and settle down. And so I look for his numbers to be better. When you look at that Cleveland team, this is a team, obviously Manziel is still the quarterback of the future. We know that. They just need some veteran presence to hold a fort down until Manziel matures and ready to take over the baton of the starting quarterback. But when you look at this roster, they have a great offensive line. They have an up-and-coming tight end in Jordan Cameron. And you know, obviously, they may have some question marks at the receiver position with the possible suspension there. But when you look at their defense of Joe Hayden, they have some players. Obviously, they're not there yet. And but, you know, this is a team with a few more pieces could be on their way in a year or two to competing. So I think this is a team that with Hoyer, they can be competitive. I think they'll be in a lot of games. But, yeah, I think you're still looking at a 6-8 win team at the most.
Yeah, that was a good breakdown, Rob. I agree with you definitely regarding that. It was a good decision for them to go ahead and name Hoyer the starter, like you mentioned. Hoyer, he may not be the most talented guy right now, but I think he's the best situation for that team because you need somebody to kind of stabilize them, Rob. Obviously, coming from the New England Patriot way, he's been able to be around You know, even though I'm not saying he's Tom Brady, but he's been around that system, Rob. Good coaching and whatnot. So he's a good force as far as the team. And like you said, it's good for him. It's good for the team to have him there because he is more mature. And obviously, it seems like no matter what Johnny Football does, he's, you know, he's making finger salutes to the crowd. He's just not quite there yet, too. So as you mentioned, clearly a talented guy, obviously. But right now, it seems like this is the great, this is the right move for the Browns. And let Hoyer get started and kind of go through a lot of the growing pains and see how he prepares for, you know, in the first season, Rob, they're kicking right off with Baltimore. You know, they got a lot of tough games, so it's good to have somebody like Hoyer kind of set the stage for Manziel. So I think it's a great, great move. And as you mentioned, Rob, too, they do have a lot of good players, especially on the defensive side. They may not have a lot of weapons yet with, you know, obviously losing the possibility of losing Gordon, but they're definitely, Rob, on the right track, too. So I feel sorry for Cleveland,
yeah, absolutely,
Rob, right now because it just seems like they have a lot of choices to make. Well, I mean, Patton has been kind of in the middle of a lot of you know, controversy with the press and whatnot too. So we'll see how they continue to evolve because that can't be pretty easy for the first time head coach and Mike Patton.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, this is a team that I think Mike Patton is as a defensive background. I think he has some pieces there. Once again, we talked about Joe Hayden. We talked about Barkevious Mingo, up and coming pass rusher there. On the outside. So they have some players that they can build around. Jordan Cameron is an up-and-coming tight end who I personally believe has a chance to be the second-best tight end in the game behind Jimmy Graham. He's got that kind of athleticism right now. So, once they get the quarterback position taken care of, I think he has that kind of potential.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. So they definitely have a lot of pieces, so we'll keep it going as always. So, and we'll talk about some moves that they've made because Cleveland, they've been known for making a lot of draft trades and whatnot. And one of the people that we thought, we were very shocked whenever they traded Trent Richardson. And I guess the question is, we're going to talk about that in a quick second. Is he a bust? And we'll kind of keep track of that as well. But I do want to talk briefly, Rob, as far as we're going to talk about some teams that have some best fans. But I want to get a check-in as far as with the preseason and as far as some players that you think are doing well, and then obviously I want to talk about some new rules. So I kind of added those pieces too because right now there's been a lot of ticky-tack penalties that seems like it's been affecting the game. But I just want to say, Rob, I'm pretty impressed right now with a couple of players in the preseason, mainly Blake Bortles. He seems to be just, you know, lighting it up, doing a very looking very impressive. As well as we talked about, Teddy Bridgewater. I know he's in a battle with Matt Castle. Is there anyone you kind of want to point out as far as some players as far as in the preseason?
Yeah, I think you mentioned Blake Bortles, and, it's going to be hard to keep this guy on a bench. I think Jacksonville would like for him to sit this year behind Chad mm-hmm. Henne, but if you're looking at it on the surface, he's outplaying Chad Henne and looks like he should be starting now. And so that's a tough decision for Jacksonville. If it was up to me, I'd say you put Bortles in there now, let him grow on the job, learn on the job, get him the experience. You drafted him as a first-round quarterback, and he's your franchise, so why not go ahead and put him in there and let him play? Teddy Bridgewater, I'm not going to say he's been impressive, but he's battling, he's playing tough. I think they will probably be smart to start Castle. And in their case, I think Bridgewater does need a little bit more time, similar to Manziel. Maybe not as much time as Manziel. I think Bortles is the one who's been impressive and should start from day one. I'll talk about another guy here, Jimmy Garoppolo with New England. He's been very impressive with the Patriots. Obviously, he's not going to start over Tom Brady, but, he's been very impressive here in the preseason. And I tell you what a difference a change of scenery makes. Let's talk about Mark Sanchez here. This guy looks like, even though he's backing up Nick Foles, he's playing like a starting quarterback again. And, with good coaching, good quarterback coaching. And I always said that. I just felt like he was in the wrong system with the Jets. And I still believe this guy has an opportunity down the road to be an NFL starting caliber QB with the right coaching. So, you know, down the road, obviously he's going to be a backup with the Eagles this year. But I think somebody's going to give him a chance again at some point. You know, I think it needs to be something similar to a West Coast offense, though, that's going to have to work for Mark Sanchez. I think that's just the, you know, the type of, you know, the QB that he is. So that's just to name a few, you know. You know, we can talk about J. Devine Clowney as well. I think he's getting off to a solid start. He's still learning the position. That's scary. So you can, you know, make mention of him as well. He's getting off to a, you know, pretty good start here in the preseason as well.
Good calls. Good calls on all accounts. So, yeah, I concur as well. Good, good stuff. You know, relaxed Patriots fan. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is not replacing Tom Brady by any means, but he's actually looked a lot better than Ryan Mallett too. So it's just been a fun preseason, Rob, to see some of these quarterbacks, see a lot of these players actually making some good impacts. So we'll keep an eye on them, and we'll continue to update everyone as we progress in our show too. So
I'll make one mention of one more name. Ryan Tannehill has been impressive this preseason too. So I mean, it looks like he's ready to take that next step. As from the quarterback standpoint, he's improving, and I think he's getting better, and he's taking that next step in the list of quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, obviously it's preseason, but he's been impressive as well.
Good call, Rob. Good call as well. And just to, if I can also talk real briefly too, because I know it seems like the NFL they've made a call to all the referees, Rob, just to definitely make an emphasis on calling those little anything past 5 yards. Are definitely calling a lot of the hand fighting with a lot of defensive backs, and I'm not too happy with it right now because it seems like we're having a ton of penalties right now, and it seems like it's slowing down the game some too. So if you're the NFL, you know, right now you got one of the better products, obviously a top product, and hopefully they'll kind of like ease up. Maybe it's just a preseason thing because it's making it tough to watch a lot of these games the way they're calling a lot of this stuff, too. And I don't think it's fair for the defensive backs, too. I mean, obviously let them play, but it is something to keep an eye on because right now it's just – I don't think it's kind of messing up the game, if you ask me, Rob.
Oh, yeah, slowing down the game is way too many penalties in the preseason. But I think the NFL wants it like this right now. They want to try to set the tone for the regular season. You know, get these players acclimated and adjusted to what's going to go and what's not going to work. You know, I think these penalties are going to tail off come regular season. And here's the main reason why I think these penalties are going to tail off. Television. You know, TV, these networks, they want these games right around that 3-hour mark. You know, they don't want these games lingering too much longer than that. And so for the sake of television, these penalties are going to slack off. But, you know, the NFL is hoping the players will have acclimated to the rules by the time the regular season starts for the sake of television as well.
Interesting. Let's kick it right off. Which NFL team, Rob, has the best fans, in your opinion?
Well, according to Forbes magazine, they ranked the Packers as having the best fans in the NFL. And they ranked the Broncos as having the second-best fans, and they ranked the Saints as having the third-best fans. Obviously, I might be a little biased, and I may say the Packers and the Saints are maybe tied for first when it comes to the best fans. And, maybe we'll mention the Broncos in there too. But obviously, you know, you can't argue with them putting the Packers right up there near the top. They've had waiting lists for years. I think a couple of honorable mentions, you can mention I think the Redskins have some very loyal fans, have had a long waiting list for years as well. You can, you know, throw them in the mix as talking about loyal fans as well. And I'm sure there are a lot of other good fan bases. You talk about Chicago Bears, you talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, with some loyal fan bases as well.
Yeah, you had some good fans with Kansas City. Has always had a pretty good stadium too. But you know,
Kansas City, you're right? That's a good call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I thought that's pretty interesting, Rob, how you bring that up because you know it seems like you want to show some love here to your Saints. But I'm not gonna talk too much junk, man. But you know, it's all good. Patriots
hey,
are up there.
Didn't have us number one. They had Green Bay number one.
I'm just messing with you, man. I figured he had to talk about it since they were in the top three, but it's all good. Got the Colts are pretty much up there too. A lot of love. The Cowboys, that's a tie with seventh, believe it or not, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is pretty surprising because I figured they'd be a little higher.
The Steelers is a good call. Cowboys, I'm not going to say they have great – I don't think they have great fans. I mean, I just think, you know, a lot of people just picked up and became Cowboy fans around the country. But they're more like, you know, fair-weather fans kind of thing. And so but the Steelers fans, yeah, Steelers have great fans. And you can easily make a case that the Steelers could be up there in the top two. And But I don't necessarily throw the Cowboys in that mix.
Yeah, they're actually tied for seven, which is pretty interesting. Going down the line, they got the Seahawks, the 12th man. Our namesake is pretty much higher than
number
nine. Best fans. And yeah, if you go play in Seattle, you definitely know what we're talking about. Just that whole stadium, it's definitely electric, and it's one of those things that's definitely a factor if you are a road team. And then finally, they actually round out the top 10 with the Chicago Bears. So great call. I mean, I can see the Bears, as always.
I think Cleveland Browns is
a good
fan base, too.
Yeah, you know, and like you said, it's they don't have them listed right here, too. But, you know, you kind of feel sorry for them, Rob, because they've been suffering for so long. But, you know, through thick and thin, they've actually been there for a minute. So a lot of surprises. You know, as far as I know, the Ravens are pretty new, pretty newer franchise. And the fact that they're, you know, definitely up there above, according to Forbes, you know, above the Steelers, it can be a little surprising. But, you know, interesting list to say the least.
Absolutely.
All right, we are a little past halfway into the show. Once again, I'm going to throw those numbers out one more time before we talk about Trent Richardson and if he's a bust. Once again, 424-243-9519, that's the number, you know, if you want to join into the show. And let's kick it off. You talked about Cleveland had a good fan base. And at first, whenever we heard that the Browns trade Trent Richardson away, we were thinking, okay, what's really going on? We didn't know if they were trading it because they just wanted to get a first-round pick. Maybe they sold the Colts a bill of goods, but is he a bust, Rob? I mean, right now it's kind of hard to, you know, kind of fault what Cleveland did, and actually looks like they actually pulled the wool over the eyes of the Colts right now.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's hard. I don't want to say he's a bust yet, but he's knocking on the door of being a bust. Let's just say that. I don't think he's lived up to potential. And, you know, the funny thing is when he came out, everyone said he was going to be better than Mark Ingram. And, you know, initially it was looking like that, but now it looks like Mark Ingram is turning the page and Richardson still hasn't woken up yet. And, you know, so it's real interesting because you thought he had the physical tools, the speed, the size. But it just does not look like his game is translating to the National Football League, either that or he's just not putting in the work. So obviously the Colts have called him out and expecting more out of him. And so it's going to be real interesting to see what happens. But I think he's knocking on the door of being a bust.
Yeah, you got to question his motivation because I agree with you. I thought that this guy was definitely making an impact. Or he would make an impact, but and it's tough, Rob, to get traded kind of in the middle of the season. You know, maybe there was, maybe he was injured. I mean, you don't know what was going on, but it's just not looking good. So I like what you said. He's definitely on the cusp, but this is going to be a very interesting year, kind of a make it or break it year for Trent Richardson, and hopefully he'll step up, Rob, and actually respond because you know, definitely from your perspective, I know Mark Ingram, there's some things that you guys as Saints fans have probably expected more out of him, you know, and he's in a contract year right now, so hopefully he's going to step up his game up. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see how everything plays out for sure, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Based on what we're seeing out of Ingram in the preseason, it looked like he's definitely working on getting a big contract. He's off to a great start. So we'll see if he can keep it going and kind of maybe get that contract he's looking for in the offseason.
There's always a couple of teams, Rob, that unfortunately have a lot of big injuries, and, you know, that's kind of part of the game. And so it's one of the things that actually jumped up whenever you had the Cardinals losing a pretty older guy, but a pretty significant guy in Darryl Dockett. He's out for the season. And I guess the question is, is are they going to be able to recover? I mean, obviously, they've got a pretty young team, some good players, and Patrick Peterson, they signed him to the extension. Tyrann Mathieu, is this going to affect their defense a lot, Rob, right now, do you think?
Well, obviously, they're going to replace him by committee. They don't have a player of his caliber. I mean, Darnell Dawkins still playing at pretty close to the Pro Bowl level, even at his age. So it's definitely a big, big loss to that defensive front for Arizona. And I think it's going to hurt them a little bit. I still think this team is going to be competitive, obviously. They're going to have great secondary. They're going to be great on the back end. I think offensively, Michael Floyd is poised to have a breakout season, actually become that number one receiver for the Cardinals and kind of surpass Fitzgerald. But Fitzgerald's still going to be an elite player. So I think offensively they have a chance. I think they have a chance of, I think they still have a slight chance of surpassing the 49ers in that division. Slight chance. We'll see. I think they can be neck and neck with the Niners. But I think Seattle is still strongly, atop that division at the moment. But I see a slight drop off from the Niners, and I still see the Cardinals somewhere right there at a 9-10 win season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure, Rob. And you got to like what Bruce Arians is doing. They've been drafting pretty solidly too, Rob. I'm not quite sure they've found the quarterback of the future just yet, so we'll keep an eye on that. But they're kind of staying the course. It looks like Bruce Arians is trying to get that defense built up. And I like what you said as far as that committee. You know, it's not just one player, obviously. But we'll keep an eye on that situation too. That's turning out to be – I know we said there's been a lot of tough divisions. It seems like more geared towards the NFC, so we'll keep an eye on all that as well.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be, very competitive, especially looking at that NFC West division. It's one of the most competitive leagues, divisions in the league. I think the Rams are going to, still need a quarterback, still not quite sold on Bradford. In order for them to take that next level. So I still think, even though they have talent on that roster, I still think they're number four in that division.
Interesting. All right, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk a little basketball here. I know NFL is obviously king, but we do want to kind of highlight a couple things that have been going on in the NBA world. And I guess let's talk about Kevin Durant and the USA basketball team. He actually left. And, Rob, we're on the streets. It may be due to $285 million. I don't know. What's your thoughts about this scenario, Rob?
Yeah, well, you can't blame him, can you?
Somebody, obviously, half of that, man.
Yeah, Under Armour offer you that kind of money, and they want you to be secure and healthy, and so it was a no-brainer for Kevin Durant. You know, I know a lot of people are upset. He's not going to represent the country, but you have to. This came at a very vulnerable time right after Paul George with a big injury. So it was kind of scary. And so it's kind of hard to fault Kevin Durant for what he did. It was a very smart business decision. Obviously, Under Armour kind of pushed him to remove himself from the team. They want him healthy for the regular season and want him in the spotlight. So that was that's basically, I don't think this has anything to do with him being a non-American and things like that. It was just a business decision that they both had to make.
You know, we always talk about it's tough to put ourselves in certain people's shoes. So I guarantee you, everyone that's talking, if they were in Kevin Durant's shoes, they would do the exact same thing. So I have no problem with that. You know, if somebody says $285 million, I don't care how rich you are or whatever, you're going to be like, sign me up. So the people that are talking junk, they just need to go ahead and go back under the rock they're on, because you would do the exact same thing. So that's my little thought. That's a little upsetting to me that you're going to even talk about that, you know. So much love to him. Kevin Durant is obviously one of the top players, but it's not like, they can get another player that's just to replace him. So, I mean, not to replace him, that means, Rob, but you know what I'm talking about. It's like, the team will go on for sure. So, that's my little 2 cents on that scenario. By any means. Wow. In fact, people are upset. That is just a joke. All right. Right now, we've got about 5 minutes left in the show. Let's talk about still in the NBA here. It looks like the Suns are looking to trade Eric Bledsoe And I guess this is almost an interesting scenario. I guess, do you think there's a particular team right now, Rob, that would actually benefit from him, from his services?
I think the team that comes to mind to me would be the Detroit Pistons. You got a team with Greg Monroe, Josh Schmidt, Andre Drummond, and, I think if you get a floor general with that team, and that's one team that comes to mind. And the second team that comes to mind is the Oklahoma City Thunder. And Russell Westbrook, as athletic and talented as he is, there are crucial points in the game where that team just lacks a true point guard. And you can slide Westbrook over to the two, and you can have a playmaker like Bledsoe to really run that offense. I think if you really look at that Oklahoma City team, especially it showed up in that series against the Spurs, there's two things that really hurt them tremendously. It's a true floor general and a real big-time post player. And obviously, you know, it's hard to get everything all at once, but the floor general will be the first step. And you get a healthy Serge Ibaka back. Obviously, he missed some games in the Western Conference Finals. So those are two teams off the top of my head. I think he can be a great assistance to. I think if he goes to a team like the Pistons, that can make that team a playoff team with that front line. I think if he goes to a team like the Thunder, have pretty much I think that puts them right up there as far as either beating the Spurs or right up there with the Spurs for competing for that Western Conference title. And obviously, the Suns have Goran Dragic, and also they have Isaiah Thomas. So they're pretty covered at the point guard position.
Good analysis, Rob. I definitely agree with you, too. I think that they're not really hurting for guards. I know Eric's been a little banged up here. So, hopefully he'll recover. And in that instance, you know, I think, like you said, those are good destinations for him. So we'll keep an eye on that, too, because it's been an exciting offseason for the NBA, and I think that it will continue to do so. So before we continue to move on, I do want to just give a quick shout-out to everyone for our fantasy football teams, or for our league, excuse me. We had an excellent turnout. We are actually full to capacity, but we're looking forward to a couple of drafts so we can really, really talk some junk and keep it moving, too. So thank you, everyone, as always, for listening to us and for signing up for the leagues, too. So we're getting excited for that coming up pretty soon, Rob. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. We expand every year. We moved up to three leagues this year. Last year we had two. And so Talking Sports with the 12th Man is growing, so we certainly appreciate all the love that we're receiving. We have two free leagues that's going to draft on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. So as a result of that, our show on next week is going to be on Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. for our friends down in Hawaii, Aloha. And then on Sunday, August 29th, we have a paid league, of course, where the winners are going to bring home $300. That draft is going to be on a Sunday afternoon, August 29th at 1:30 p.m. So we certainly appreciate it. We're looking forward to competing, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun as the football season is kicking off.
Well, if we've got about 90 seconds, Rob, you want to go ahead and kick it off with the OT portion? We're not going to have a long OT portion, but at least we want to mention that. So I'll go ahead and throw that to you as we get ready to wrap up this edition of Talking Sports. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, we've still got a few little items we're going to discuss here real quick in the OT portion, mainly some college football here. You definitely want to tune in. It's college football season. This coming Saturday is the last Saturday without college football. Hallelujah. We're looking forward to that. The following Saturday, that will be the main Saturday as college football season kicks off. So we're going to talk about, is Florida State have a chance? We're going to talk about who's going to win the Big Ten. And we're also going to talk about what teams are going to play in the college football first ever playoff. So stay tuned. You can't catch this portion live, but you can tune into it. Click on the same link on tomorrow, and you'll be able to listen to our brief college football preview. Good night, people.
Good night, people. As always, we thank you for listening. Give us your feedback. We appreciate the Facebook posts, a lot of Twitter retweets. It's very, very exciting to hear about, and we appreciate all that as well. But anyway, we'll see you as we continue on to the OT portion. Good night, people.
Good night, world.
I always wait for you to kick it off, Rob. So we're now officially into the OT portion. And, yeah, let's kick it off. Let's talk real briefly about Jameis Winston. And there's been a lot of interesting comments that have been said by Jimbo Fisher. I know you know him pretty well, Rob, coming from LSU. And not only did he said that the ACC was a better league right now because they had a lot of players drafted, which, you know, obviously that can there's some validity to that, but we're still probably going to think SEC is king from top to bottom. But his question is, Jameis Winston, can he win another Heisman, and then also can he lead Florida State to another national championship? So I'm going to put it to you, Rob. Do you think he's going to win the Heisman, and then is he capable of doing that?
Well, you know, I think he's capable of doing both. Will he do both? That's a tough question. I tell you what, that's a tough question to answer. And I'm going to say that he will repeat and win the Heisman. That's going to be my prediction.
Wow.
I'm going to also predict that Florida State goes undefeated. And maybe this is a little tease into my college football playoff. I'm going to say that Florida State goes undefeated, make it to the national championship game, and lose.
Wow.
So
who are they lose to, Rob?
I don't want to ruin. Stay tuned for the college football playoff, or we're going to talk about it in a few minutes, and then I'll tell you who they're going to lose to.
Okay. Today is August the 21st, Rob. You heard it here first, America. Rob has said that Florida State is going to go undefeated. Jameis Winston is going to win the Heisman. They're going to make it, and they're going to lose. So we're going to hold you. I'm going to refer back to this tape, Rob, as we keep an eye on the season, too. Yeah,
absolutely. That's what it's here for.
I think it's going to be tough for him to I think he's definitely probably the number one candidate. You never know how the season unfolds. You know, obviously, you've got, the quarterback from Oregon, Marcus Mariota. It's going to come back. You know, there's been a strong push for Todd Gurley, excuse me. I think the stage is set for him if he doesn't have any setbacks, for sure. You're possibly even, you know, if you're an NFL team, you may be looking at the number one draft pick right there, Rob, too. So if you're
absolutely
a team that's in quarterback, yeah, this may be an opportunity for you to kind of target Jameis Winston, too. I know he's a redshirt. He'll be a redshirt sophomore, if I'm not mistaken. Correct if I'm wrong with that too, Rob. Yeah, so he's going to be definitely number one pick. So, it's going to be interesting for sure to see if he can do that. But I'm excited. I want to hear your playoff teams. Let's kick it on. Let's talk about the Big Ten here. Obviously, huge loss for Ohio State, losing Braxton Miller for the season, Rob. I'm sure that definitely affects Ohio State's chances of winning the Big Ten. I think if you're a betting man, you're going to go with the next best team or probably the best team in that conference, Michigan State, probably win the Big Ten. That's my little take on that. So what do you think about that, sir?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is we just talking about the Heisman Trophy and Jameis Winston. He just lost one of his major competitors in Braxton Miller. And so, you know, that sets the stage up for him a little bit easier as far as getting it, where I think the only guy that's going to be a true competitor is going to be Marcus Mariota now for that Heisman Trophy. I think Hundley is just as good at UCLA, but he's just not on as good a team. So that's what I think is going to be the difference there. But I think potential-wise, as far as from a pro level, he's just as good. But from a Heisman level, he's just not on the same type of team. So when we get here to the Big Ten here now with Ohio State without Braxton Miller, here's the deal. I think with or without Braxton Miller, I like Michigan State to win this conference. I think defensively they're going to be sound. They're going to be strong again. And they were very well coached. I actually like them. I still think Ohio State's going to be the second best team in this conference, even without Braxton Miller. The Big Ten is not that strong. And Ohio State still has a ton of talent on their team. But I still like Michigan State to win this. And I actually like them to win the conference, even with Braxton Miller. Based on their head-to-head matchup, when Michigan State has that game at home this year. So those are my top two teams in the Big Ten. I like Michigan State to still win the conference. And and possibly get back to the Rose Bowl, and Ohio State would finish second.
Yeah, it's good
but
call.
Don't be
good
surprised if Ohio State, even though they won't win the conference, that they have a slightly better ranking than Michigan State. So don't be surprised at that.
Yeah, I can see that. And like you said, this is year three of Urban Meyer, so he's finally reaping the benefits of all those years of recruiting. He's getting a lot of faster athletes, which is not really a trait of a lot of the Big Ten, Rob. A lot of the players in Big Ten are known to be a little bit more physical, bigger players. And, it looks like Urban Meyer is kind of getting a little bit of both. He's getting some players from Florida, faster athletes. So I agree with you. Yeah, they're going to probably have better team players, and that's why they're going to definitely be stronger in that division for sure, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at Urban Meyer, he coached in the SEC, so he's still trying to envision that same kind of team, same type of players, and trying to bring those players into the Big Ten. Obviously, if he stays at Ohio State long term, I still think that at the moment this is still the elite program in the Big Ten. So long term, I think he will have the most success of any school in the Big Ten if he stays there long term. There's no doubt about that. But I think this year, I still like Michigan State to win the conference.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to say about this too, because it seems like with Michigan State, Rob, has they're very similar to an SEC school or to SEC. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. They could actually, I think they would fit right into the SEC. So, which is pretty rare to say, but they have. We mentioned that they're well coached. They have a physical defense. So just a great team, I would say. So we'll keep an eye on them as well. I don't know if you want to comment on that before we get ready for the playoff scenario here.
No, I think just once again, good call. Michigan State, it sounds like it's unanimous between the two of us. It sounds like we both like Michigan State to win the Big Ten with Ohio State coming in second.
All right, let's talk about who's going to play in the college football playoff, and then after that we are going to wrap up this show. So I'm going to kick it to you, Rob, for who's going to play in the college football playoff, sir.
All right, I'm breaking down the brackets here. The number one seed in the first ever NCAA college football playoff will be Florida State. As I said earlier here, I'm predicting them to go undefeated and through the ACC, win the ACC championship game, and go undefeated once again with Jameis Winston at the quarterback position. Obviously, they will play the number four seed in the first ever NCAA football Division I playoff. And that number four seed will be Oregon from the Pac-12. And so
wow.
It should be a very entertaining game. Florida State, Jameis Winston against Marcus Mariota. I tell you, that's going to be must-watch TV right there. Two probably elite quarterbacks coming out. And then in the other matchup, you got your two seed against the three seed. And the two seed is going to be the Oklahoma Sooners and your favorite coach, Bob Stoops. And I actually think Oklahoma is going to go undefeated as well this season. I have them as being the number two seed in the playoff. And the number three seed will be old Nicky Saban in Alabama. So obviously Oklahoma and Alabama will go head-to-head in a repeat of last year's Sugar Bowl game. So that's how I got Alabama getting in with one loss, and I have Oregon getting in with one loss, and I have Florida State and Oklahoma both going undefeated, and that's why they're the one and the two seed. But this is how I see it breaking down here. I like Florida State to beat Oregon in that first semifinal matchup. I think it should be a very entertaining football game, and once again, probably going to have the two elite quarterbacks going head-to-head in one matchup. I like Florida State to advance to the championship game. Alabama, Oklahoma in the other semifinal, I think this is going to be a game that Alabama is going to really want after the way Oklahoma beat them in the Sugar Bowl. So I like Alabama to win this game, a little bit of revenge for what happened in last year's game. So my national championship game is Florida State in Alabama. So once again, Florida State is going up against an SEC team from Alabama 2 years in a row for the national championship game. as much as I hate Alabama and Nicky Saban, I'm going to say it's going to be really hard for Florida State to repeat. Nick Saban going up against one of his old assistant coaches in Jimbo Fisher. I'm going to say Alabama wins the national championship and beat Florida State for the title.
Wow, I want to say, Rob, Nick Saban is actually clapping over there. He appreciate your support for sure. So thank you for that, too. So good job.
Well, I hope I'm wrong. But
oh, man, it's all good. Well, good job, as always, sir. I like the way how you set the stage. Excellent, excellent breakdown as far as your brackets. We appreciate that. Let's go ahead and set the stage for next week, Rob, as we get to wrap up another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we're going to have more football in NFL and college variety. Next week's show, we're going to actually preview some of the first week college football games, some of the key matchups. Of course, you got 13th-ranked LSU against 14th-ranked Wisconsin. That's going to be one of the big games in the first college football weekend. So we'll preview that game as well as a few others on next week. So we'll get back into previewing some of the big games in the weekend. Obviously, we're going to be, wrapping up the third weekend in preseason, which is the big weekend in the preseason. So we'll talk about some of the highs and lows of the third weekend in the preseason. So you don't want to miss that on next week. And you never know what else is going to pop up in the sports world that we may cover. So you definitely want to tune in. Next week, once again, we're going to be on Monday night. So don't forget that. Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Once again, you don't want to miss that show on Monday night. We'll have a lot to talk about. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Thank you, Rob, as always. Excellent job of us setting the stage and keeping an eye on where we're going to be and what we're going to be doing over the next week. So without further ado, we look forward to that. We're going to give you guys updates. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we look forward to another chance to meet up with you guys and talk some sports. So anyway, for Rob Ford, I'm Andre Peterson signing off. Good night, Rob. Have a good evening, sir.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.